Today, we're learning Perek Lamed in the Tiferes. The Maral is continuing on the account of Matan Torah, as we have it in the Chumash. We've been going through various steps. Last time, last Perek, he was dealing with Nasa V'Nishma and the crowns. Now, he's describing what happens actually at the event. So the atmosphere, the effects, the special effects of Mamad Har Sinai are what he's going to be speaking about here in this perek, more fundamentally. The perek's going to have sort of two phases. One of them is going to be directly analyzing a chazal about Matan Torah, and the other one is a famous chazal which connects Matan Torah to the kolos of Kol Sosan, the Kol Simcha, Kol Chosan, the Kol Kala, the sounds of Matan Torah connected to the sounds around Sheva Brachos, around a wedding. But let's begin with the first part, which is the special effect of Mamad Har Sinai. The Maral brings the Gemara in Zvachim, what he calls a medrash, but it's actually a Gemara. It's a midrashic quote from the Gemara. Hashem lamabul yoshav. We say this. Hashem lamabul yoshav. Hashem seemingly sat on his throne with the mabul. What does this mean? Shakadosh Baruch Hu nasan Torah liYisrael. Hayakaylo haylech misayf haylam viyat sayf. Say Chazal. When Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, the sounds of it extended from one end of the world to the other. All the kings of the world were shaking in their palaces. They gathered to Bilam, who would be the one who would perhaps know what's going on. What's this sound of the hamoin, of the masses, of this storm? They were afraid at Matan Torah that perhaps another Mabul, another earth-shaking, destroying flood was coming. Amar Lahem Sabilam said, Kvar Nishba Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalo Yavi Mabul Olam. Don't have to worry about that. Hashem already promised he's not bringing a Mabul to the world. Amru Lo Shema Mabul Shel Mayim Eine Mevi, Avul Mabul Shel Eish Mevi. Maybe it won't be a Mabul of water, because that he promised, but maybe he'll bring a mabul of fire, as it says, Hashem nishbat ba'esh. Amar lehem kvar nishba kodesh baruch hu she'enei mevi mabul kolikar, shenemar v'lo yiramayim lemabul, which the Gemara somehow understands as being even a general promise beyond mayim. Right, which, you know, you have to reconcile with their other chazal and about, okay, we'll do it with water because he specifically promised he won't punish with water, right? Remember by Para. But they're saying, don't worry, he's not destroying the world. So why does it feel like it? They ask Bilam. Elochem da taiva yeshle bebeis genozav. Genuza etzlei tuf tuf kuf ayin dal adayres kadim shenivar aylam. Hashem has a treasure in his vaults. It's been sitting there for 974 generations preceding the creation of the world. Right, the idea is that if you take 974 generations preceding the world, and then how many generations into the existence of the world was the Torah given? 26 generations. So therefore, you get a total of 1,000. Right? What did you just say in Psukei Dezimra this morning? Dovar Tziva Le'elev Dair. Right? His word he commanded for 1,000 generations. So it's understood by Chazal that it was 1,000 generations in. What does it mean, 974 generations before the world existed? How do you have generations before the world existed? That's a subject of a Maral elsewhere, not for us today. But the idea is that it was there from long before V'nasnal Am, and he's giving it to his people. As it says, Hashem Oiz Lama Yitain. Hashem is giving Oiz to his people. Oiz means strength. They all answered, Hashem Yivarech Hazam Yivasholeh. May Hashem bless his people with peace. Okay, so again, what's the synopsis of what's being said here? The whole world was shaking so that they thought maybe it was coming to an end. And they responded, it's not coming to an end. Hashem is just pulling out his Torah that preceded the creation of the world, And that's what's making all of this. And the Torah is referred to as oz, as something of strength. So you wonder why it's shaking like that. That's why. So they said, okay, well, let's hope that this whole thing ends peacefully. That's the Chazal. Now that Chazal is really just expanding on what the Pasuk itself describes. Sure, the Pasuk has no description of an interaction between the kings of the world and Bilam, calming them down. But the Kailai Subrakim V'anan Kaved Alohar, the thunder and lightning, again, the special effects of Mamar Har Sinai, was shaking people up. Again, the Pasuk describes the Jewish people, Vayecherat Kol Am Asher V'machne, the people shook, the people trembled. We view that as a fundamental quality of Mamar Har Sinai. When the Gemara says, for instance, that a person is supposed to learn Torah today in the same manner that they received it when they heard it, Mipi Agvur at Har Sinai, they say, over there it was Be'ema, Be'yira, Be'reses, Uvezia, which means with fear and with shaking, with awe and with fear. With reses vizia is not zia, is not zeya, not sweating, right? It's moving, right? Zah, like, right? The means with reses is shaking and moving. There was some kind of like a trauma that was happening here in this magnificent world-saving event of Har Sinai, but it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that. So again, the Pasuk says that, and Chazal are expanding upon it when they describe how it filled the world, and they thought maybe it was another Mabul. You know, for instance, just to fill this out as well, that Chazal tell us, this is written in Midrashim, and especially in the Zayar, that at the time of the Mabul was really a time that was suited for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Torah to the world. And Noach could have been Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? There's such a tradition, even Gilgal Moshe Rabbeinu. And the thing was that because of the unworthiness of the generation and the time and everything else, so instead of the Mayim of Torah, instead of the waters of Torah coming down to the world, instead the waters of the Mabul that destroyed the world came down. So this is another aspect of what the Gemara is describing over here. Hashem Mabul Yoshev, they thought the world was going to be destroyed. Last time they heard sounds like this, suitable for Matan Torah, the world was destroyed. But we have to understand what this means. And why is it that the coming of the Torah is so traumatic? So we get a little clue in Hashem Oiz La'ama Yitein. Right? The Torah is something which is strong. But is that enough? So the Maral begins the Perek, right, with an opening line and continues with afterwards with a line. A line which is the fundamental notion here, which is min hadavar asher hu shinui yimoshech achar ze shinui ulufi gaidel hashinui yimshach achrav shinui gadol. When you have something which is a change, it creates change. You don't have something which is a radical difference than that which was there before that just comes in and you just slide it in and put it down on the table. If it's a change, it shakes things up, right? Beyond just putting the Torah on the table, wow, there's something new here called the Torah. It's going to change the whole dynamic, the whole calculus of what's here. It changes everything. And the more significant the change that's being offered, the more significant that change is going to feel. It's no wonder that the world felt shaken up by the Torah, because the Torah was something which was radically new to the world. It was completely different than everything which was there. The Torah is the Torah min
HaShemayim. They rejected it.
Hmm?
They rejected it. Why does it impact them now?
It still came down to the world. It was now infused to the world. They were given all kinds of options. They were given all kinds of, right? Perhaps in a certain sense, this is all part and parcel when it says they felt the shaking is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu offering the Torah to the nations, right? He went to them, but part of it is they knew that something tremendous was happening here. They heard it and they said, Hashem Yivarech Hasameh Basholeh. Agazunt Avzayin Kepala. You know, they should be well, right? But they were still remaining sidelined to it. But it's a radical change, and it's foreign to the world. So what is it? So again, remember, this is the yesod of the Tiferes Yisrael, what he's been talking about over and over again, which is, of course, the Torah has to come into the world, because the whole purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is to indeed create that divine peace within this otherwise foreign world. But it is very different. It's Torah min HaShamayim coming down into a world which is Gashmi. It's transformative. It makes things completely different. Just like Adam HaRishon, when the earth was used to form the body of Adam HaRishon, but then a neshama was infused into him, it was a radical, what do you call it? A radical makeover, right? He was completely changed. He was completely transformed by it. The world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the Torah into it, is going to be completely transformed. And what do Chazal say? What is Bilam's response? He says, don't worry, it's not destruction. It's not destruction. It's blowing into it a breath of life. It's bringing into it a new form of life, a new form of existence, a new form of vitality. However, you say, why is it this way? What is it? What's happening? Why does it feel this way? Because there's a chemda genuza. There's a treasure which has been from 974 generations before the world was created. Why does it express it that way? Because it's not something of this world. If it's something that's of this world, if the Torah, for instance, is a bunch of policy wonks got together in a think tank, and they said, we look at this world, and we think we've come up with a system of laws to be able to make the world work, right? Right? Black and his friends, right, got together to come up with a system of law to work, you know, to work the world. And it comes out. Is that going to be radical? Okay, I don't know. He was like a big law man, right? Wasn't he? So, huh?
He made a law dictionary.
Okay, so who knows? What do I know? So he comes, or Hippocrates, or whoever it is, you know, is going to come and sit down and discover some kind of system that's supposed to exist within the world. Would that have radically changed the world, or would he say, here, come, nice thing brought into the world to help things run well? Would it have made things crazy? Would it have turned things upside down? Or maybe the opposite. Maybe it would have, you know, easily and nicely made things right. The idea is the Torah isn't something which was created from within the framework of this world that just slides in. That's the answer which Bilam says. You have to understand, this is something which exists way before this world, from a completely different framework. The Torah that the Malachim spoke of and yearned for, and says, why are you bringing it down there? Right? So again, we're used to thinking of the Torah, that the Torah says what Moshe Rabbeinu quoted as saying, don't steal and don't commit adultery and don't murder and work for 6 days and rest on a seventh. And we say, come on, I mean, this is obviously, it's for the world. But it's a translation of the Torah min HaShamayim, of the Shamayim, that is a truth that's beyond this world. And so when it comes into this world, it shakes it up. It's a shinui gadol. It's a radical change. And you think the world's coming to an end? Well, in a sense, the world as you know it is coming to an end. Remember the Gemara? We once spoke about it. I don't remember if we spoke about it in this shir, but we certainly spoke about it, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Like those of you that Daf Yomi did it not so long ago, right? Where the Gemara says that Yonah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yonah the prophecy. The Gemara says Hashem doesn't give a Navi a prophecy and then doesn't, you know, let him know, give him updates, you know, if anything's going to change. So the thing was, the Gemara says, what about Yonah? Hashem came to him and said, 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overturned. Right? And then, right, Yonah watches and Nineveh isn't overturned. Says the Gemara, no, you don't understand. Nineveh was overturned. It was overturned. There were two meanings to overturned. Right? Revolution is you can take, right, if I take a cup and I turn it upside down, right, that's a revolution. Right? It's been turned over. Right? When we speak about revolution, we speak about a revolution of a system, a revolution of values. Right, Ninve Nepoches is that it's going to be overturned. The tshuva of Ninve was the revolution. It wasn't the same Ninve. So they looked and they said, the world is being destroyed. It's not being destroyed, but it's being completely changed. Because something is being brought into this world from another world. Something which is not a product, it's not a construct of this world. It's a construct of the other world that's being brought into this one to completely remake it. That's why it feels like the world is shaking. But it's not destructive. It's the opposite.
Why can't you say the idea already was there? The generations, they had Torah. Everybody had Torah too. Maybe not in the sense of being a book of Torah, but Abraham Avinu had a... Noah had... Adam Harishon had the ideas of Torah. And there's nothing... The ideas... things are not new anymore.
Okay. So as you know, as it's a good question, and what Maral has talked about earlier in the Sefer is that, well, one second. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not give it at the time of Adam when he created man right away? Why did he not give it right to the Avos? There was a stage which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wait to meet to give the Torah. It's true, on some level the Avos observed the Torah and they were aware of the Torah, but Matan Torah was fundamentally different. Matan Torah, the event of Har Sinai, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and gives and delivers. It's not that they, with their insight, were able to somehow figure out something which was there, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it down openly, clearly, not something that they knew from their kishkas, but something which was brought into the world itself. That is, you can't underestimate the significance of that event. Just because Avraham Avinu knew the Torah. Yeah.
Also, Adam Rishon and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, for that matter, were all pratim, yichidim. So this is the first time you had an opportunity to have a klali that was a kli kibul. That was
correct. That was one of the fundamental things which the Maral taught, and was why would it be? Why did Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov not get it? Because they were still pratim, and that's the idea that here now it's being brought to the world. There's a notion of the klal. The klal is klal Yisrael, yes, to some degree, but now the idea is that it's going to be a mass change. Correct. Yes.
I don't know. There's this concept of the sakal bel reisim bar as alma.
Bar alma. Yeah.
Is the Torah? The world is created with the. That's true. So would the world not be created within the framework of the work of the Torah?
The Torah is created within the framework. The world is created within the framework of the Torah. You have to it's a real thing to understand what Chazal mean by that significant statement of Istakil b'Yiraisu Bara Alma. Kodesh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and through that, from that, created the world. What Chazal compare it to, like a blueprint for the creation of the world. But in a certain sense, while of course that is true, but still, infusing it with the actuality of Torah is going to be different. It would be almost like if you would say, you know, I am using the metaphor which Chazal say is, you know, I have a fantastic machine that produces whatever product it produces. It produces microchips. And I've designed this machine, and I have this machine, and now I need a building to house the machine. So I construct the building in a way that it'll be able to house the machine. I make it the right size, I have the right ventilation systems, and you know, the right everything that's going to be needed in order to house this machine that's going to produce the microchips. I build it, but I still have a shell of a building. It's just the building. It has all the things in place for it. When you put the machine in, it's a radical change. Now suddenly it's producing the microchips. So the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to ultimately be a world that would be able to contain Torah, but when the Torah comes in, it's bringing in that divine element that didn't exist before in this creation. And it's bringing it in, and it makes a mapecha. It does make the... It shakes the world up.
Could the kings of the world have been somehow feeling the real danger of the mountain being held over the Jewish people's head, and had they not accepted the Torah, the world wouldn't have continued to exist after that?
It could be that one would put this together with that, because in fact Chazal say Eretz Yara Vishakata, that in the impending moments of the offering of the Torah to the Jewish people, the world shook. right? And then when the Jewish people said yes, so then the world was calm. And one could connect this to that. This Chazal, however, certainly the way the Maharal is understanding it, but I think the Chazal per se are not hearing it this way. And I'll tell you, I think, why. Because that what you're talking about is, will they accept it? Once the Jewish people chose to accept it, then the process of actually giving it should be very smooth. Here what we're describing is post the acceptance, right? Last perek was about Nasev and Ishma. Now it's actually just playing itself out. Now it's just the delivery of the Torah coming into the world. And that it's describing with all of this noise, with all of this shake up. So that is the focus, and that's after we already know that they're taking it, but the experience itself is still coming with all of this revolution, all of this trauma.
Okay.
So, but the Maharal adds, now goes back to the Chazal, to point out, to highlight one other element. So when he answered him, he said two things. He said, number one, it's this treasure which has been around from before the world was created. So the Maharal's explained that to us. That the reason why that shakes the world up is because it's not a construct of this world, it's a construct from beyond this world. And therefore, when it comes into this world, the world shakes. That's one aspect which he responds. But then he said, Shenemar, as it says, Hashem oz lamo yitain. Right? That was the last words of Bilam, as he quoted a pasuk in Tilim. Hashem gives eyes to his people. Why is that the description? So Maral says this is another facet of it. Eyes means strength. Strength means that which is strong and firm. And the word of Torah is strong and firm. Kol devareha mechuyavim muchrachim. The Torah is not as has often been said, it's not the 10 suggestions, right? It's the 10 commandments. Right, the word of the Torah is emes. It's real. It's of necessity. You'll ask, well, why does the world around it not have it? But it's still not something which is wishy-washy. You can choose to have it. You cannot choose to have it. It'll be fundamentally different if you do, and fundamentally different if you don't. The words of Torah are real. Rav Chaim Volozhiner famously said, on what Chazal said, Kol Ha'Imer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. Anybody who says Hashem, well, he's just overlooked some things. You know, I'm not going to worry about that. Yivatru ma'ayhi, yivatru chayayhi. Chazal say different things, so he'll be overlooked. Hey, what's the idea? So you have to understand that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Torah, it's realities of cause and effect in terms of the world, in terms of the spiritual dynamics of the world, which affect the material dynamics of the world. These aren't just, you know, if you do this, it's a nice thing. You'll have something, right? If that would be the case, then sometimes, you know what? I'm willing to overlook it. It's a reality. That's why it's called eyes, strength, and that's part of the shakeup, right? Again, if it's just nice ideas, right, then it doesn't have that quality. It's going to have to be something which is seen as b'chayzek, as much more of a strength, much more of a reality. Kol dvareha shel Torah hem mechuyavim. Says the Maharal, okay, so that's explaining that exchange which Chazal described. But now let's look at the pasuk itself. Kailois ubrakim. Kailois is sounds, thunder. Brakim is lightning. V'anan kaved, and a thick cloud. The kol ha-shayfar chazak ma'id, and a heavy sound of the shayfar, four pieces. Says the Maharal, right, specialty. What are the four pieces? You know that in the world we speak about there being four yesaidos, four foundational elements. What are they? Afar, mayim, ruach, and esh. Right? Those are the four elements. The dust, the water, the ruach, the air, or the wind, however you want to translate it, and the esh and the fire, energy. Some would say solids, liquids, and gases, and energy. Right? These are the various elements that exist in the world. The kailos sounds, where are they? Kailos are sound waves. They travel through the air, through the atmosphere, through the ruach. The brachim, the lightning, is fire. And the onan, the cloud, is water. So you have those three elements. The ofar, the dust. No. Because the whole thing here is to bring the Torah from the Shamayim down to the earth, down to the earth. The earth is here already. What's being introduced are elements from above. So, as the Maharal explains it, as the Torah, which is Begavei Meraimim, which is in the ultimate, the highest level, as it's being brought down to this earth, so in all of the interceding layers, everything in the atmosphere, with the waters above, right? You know, to some degree represented by the clouds that are part of the system of the waters down here that is connected to the waters above, the mayim that falls from the heavens, right? And the airspace and the koilos which are in that, and the thunder and lightning, which all that energy which is there, it all comes down as you see sort of, you know, you have this vision of the heavens descending down to the earth, which is what Chazal do it. So everything in that intervening thing, you know, it gets condensed and it comes down here and becomes part of the presentation at Har Sinai. That's where these three categories of the sounds and the light and the clouds, that's where they're coming from, says the Maharal. And the Kol HaShofar, what's with the sound of the shofar? Another sound? What's the purpose of the sound of the shofar? So the sound of the shofar is something else. The sound of the shofar is a sound which is always heard at these critical times of what the Maharal calls here Yitzia L'Poel, of coming into its own, of coming into action, of the potential being unveiled. We know that the shofar is used as the shofar of Geula, of redemption. When Hashem finished creation, there was the sound of the shofar. When Hashem will finish with the whole enterprise of creation of Mashiach, Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu, the shofar is also the shofar of the revelation of Hashem's presence coming into the world. There's no question why there's a kol shofar. Right? In other words, we know, again, we can have a separate shir, right, where we will learn about the significance of kol shofar. But we all know enough to know that kol shofar is like on Rosh Hashanah, when we herald Hashem coming down to look at the world, to come down in din, right? Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. It's announced. Hashem's presence is announced by the sound of the shofar. There's no difficulty with finding the presence of the shofar at Har Sinai. These other effects, explains the Maharal, however, are the other elements of creation from the higher spheres than the earth itself that are coming down here and being brought down here together with the Torah. So it's all coming into reality. So we have the Kol HaShofar V'Onan Kaved covered as well by the Kol Shofar. So that's really the first phase of this discussion of Maharal. So again, let's review the way the Pasuk itself describes it and the way the Chazal and the Gemara and Zvachim elaborate on it. The event of Har Sinai was shaking the world up. Why was it shaking the world up? It was shaking the world up because it was introducing into the world something which was not, you know, some nice ideas. It was introducing into the world a quality of another world. It was something from a world before this world, from the Tavtavku Aindel Adairus. It's putting into the world an element of heaven and something which is essential, something which is muhrach, something which is oz that is being brought into the world. Of course, it is a mapech, it is overturning the world. Not in a negative way, they thought, that it's another mabul destroying the world, but it is changing the world from the world the way we know it. And all the elements we describe in Maharal sort of breaks down again in the psukim of these different things which were there, the thunder, the lightning, the clouds, were all these upper elements. As the Shamayim is coming down to this world, all these other elements which are there in the atmosphere, they all are brought in, squished in, coalescing to be part of this picture of the presentation of Matan Torah at Har Sinai. That's phase one. Phase two. It says, in the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara speaks about the Torah being given with five kailos. And the Gemara says the following. This is a beautiful Maharal. something to note, something to remember. It's you know, for not just about Matan Torah, but also about Simchas Chasam V'Kala. Very, very beautiful, very relevant. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Chelba, Gemara in Brachas Davav, Kol Anena Misudas Chasam Ve'Enei Mesamchei. Anybody who enjoys a Sudas Chasam, a wedding feast, and doesn't give back, doesn't bring joy to the Chasam, Over B'Chamisha Kailis, he transgresses five Kailis, against five sounds. What does that mean? Shenemar, as it says, and this is a very famous pasuk, Kol Sasoin V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasam V'Kol Kala, that's four. Right, the sounds of joy, the sounds of exuberance, the sounds of the chasam, the sounds of the kala, and then this one is not as well known because it's not incorporated into the last of the sheva brachas. Kol aimrim haydu, right? A voice saying thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the sounds that are supposed to be the sounds of the wedding, and this person is sort of enjoying it without adding to it. So he's oiver b'chamisha kailas, so to speak. He's transgressing, or he's passing up being a part of these five kailas. V'imisamchai, and if he does, so now we have a number of options given by the Chazal. First option is Zeicha L'Taira. The one who does bring such joy merits Taira, because Taira was given with five kailas too. How do we have that? By he kailas, kailas is plural, two, ubrakim, v'kail shayfar, that's a third kail, excuse me, Vahi Koil HaShayfar, the Pasuk again refers to the Koil HaShayfar, Hoylech V'Chazek, was just growing in intensity, four. And it says, Moshe Yadaber V'Elekim Yanenu B'Koil. Moshe spoke, and Hashem would respond to him with the Koil. So there's five references to Koil by Matan Torah, like there's five references to Koil by the Chuppah. Everybody knows the many different comparisons which we make between Matan Torah and marriage. Maybe we'll learn some more here. So he says, a person who participates in the Koil of the Chasana will have access to the kailas of the Torah. Rabbi Avo Aymer, no, completely different. Kilu hikriv taida. One who does this is as if he brought a toda, a thanksgiving offering. Shenemar, because that pasuk continues and says, umeviim taida beis Hashem. Right after the pasuk of kol aymer haidu, they say, umeviim taida beis Hashem. They bring a toda offering to the house of Hashem. So one participates in this, it's as if they brought this carbon of thanksgiving. Rav Nachman says, "Kilu bana churva achas mechurvas Yerushalayim." It's as if he built, rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. That's what he accomplishes when he's mesameach chasam v'kala. Shenemar ki oshiv shavus haaretz kevarishayno amar Hashem. I will restore the land as it was. Okay, so this gives us. This gives us a new angle to look here at what happened in Matan Torah. As the Maral says, yes, there was lightning, yes, there were clouds, but when it comes to Kailas, we say there were five. And five is a big number of completeness in the Maral's writings. And as Maral says, there are other places where Chazal say at Matan Torah there were seven Kailas, right? Which, because in fact, we have another pasuk, which our Gemara that says five kailos as it says v'chol ha'om ra'im es ha'kailos. All the people saw the kailos. So the Gemara says those kailos were from before Matan Torah, but that's another two. In other places, it speaks about it as seven. Whenever the Maral looks at the world, this world in completeness, so he either uses the number five or the number seven. The number five, we find this olam hazeh was nivra behei. This world was created with the letter He, and the idea is because the world has four poles, right? It has north, south, east, west, and the center, from which, right, you point the arrows in all the directions. When you go to a third dimension, right, which is depth, right, height, it's the north, front, back, right, left, up, down, so then you have six poles, right, to the three directions, length, width, and height. And then you have again the middle. That makes seven. Mm. So whichever it is, whichever one, and it's hard to figure out why sometimes it's five, why sometimes it's seven. Here we're lucky. It's both five and it's seven. Right? But it's hard to figure out, this system, at least for me, it's hard to figure out, how it works. But there's again this picture of hispashtus, of pervasiveness. It's going to be every place. So we have that specifically by the kailos. Why do we have it specifically by the Kailis? So Kail, says the Maharal, beautifully, beautifully, Kail is effect. Effect. I don't know if you guys remember, some of you may remember when we learned one of the Gewaldige Maharal, I think I repeated it to you not that long ago, because a very, very Choshava Maharal, Maharal on the Gemara in Yuma, where it speaks about the sound of the sun moving through the sky, right, competes with the sounds emanating from the stadiums of Rome, right? And it says, if not for the sounds emanating from the stadiums of Rome, we would be very distracted by the sounds of the sun, right? It would be like the sound of the sun plowing through the sky and creating all that dust that you see, you know, in the sunlight. That would just be overwhelming for us. And if not for the sounds of the sun, the sounds of Rome would drive us crazy, right? Would drive us crazy. But now, we don't hear the sounds of Rome. You say, what are you talking about, the sounds of Rome? We don't hear it because of the sounds of the sun. And you don't hear the sounds of the sun because of the sounds of Rome. Right? So it's like very weird Gemara, very weird sounding Gemara. So if you write very briefly, what the Maharal explained was that the sounds of the sun is Oil Derech Eretz. It's the demands of nature. Right? And the sounds of Rome is Ol Malchus, is the demands of society. And in our world, we have three sources of impact, three sources of authority, three sources of effect. One is nature, right? Many things that you did so far today, you did them because of nature, right? You slept, you woke up, right? You took care of your basic needs, you washed your face, you brushed your teeth, all of these things. You know, if you lived on a desert island and there was nobody around, and if, right, you know, heaven forbid one if there was no God in the world, right, but you'd have to do these things. These are just the calls of nature. Then there are things that you did only, that we do only because of society. Right, when you got out and you got to the corner, right, you looked both ways before you went out into the street. When you got to a red light, you stopped because maybe cars are coming and because the government tells you to do so, and so on and so forth. Right? There are many things that you do because of other people. That's the second source of authority. And that's represented by Kol Hamoina Shel Roimi, right? The powerful, the Romans, which to, right, in nowadays it sounds quaint, but it's the ultimate authority of a society that got in the way of people doing so many things which they would have otherwise wanted to do. If they would be on a desert island, alavai, we would do things completely differently. And then there's the third realm of authority, which is, I shouldn't say the third, but on our list, the third, which is doing things not because of nature, not because of people, but because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, so maybe when you davened, you did that because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to be careful. Sometimes we do that because of society, right? Right, and they, you know, then we get in a little trouble, right? But we're supposed to be doing these things because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there are many other things that we do and we did and we can do before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a wonderful exercise, by the way, if you ever have a chance. Right, one day, wake up and have a little chart on your bed, on your bedside, on your night table, with these three categories. You'll see everything fits into one of the categories, right? There's no fourth category. And see how it's weighted. See which list gets the longest. It's very interesting. Maybe sobering. Yeah, but it's very, very interesting. Some things maybe you'll want to put in two columns. Whatever it is. It's a thing. Kailis. We speak about it as the sound of the sun. Right? Why? Because sound is a reverberation from one thing that's going to be felt by something else. And if you think about it with greater depth, is that the sound, the koil, when we speak about people, what's the definition of a person as opposed to any other being in the world is Medaber, right? The speaking being, right? Domein, Tzomei, Achai, Medaber, the four levels. Before we spoke about the four elements, now the four levels of creation are the Domein. What is that, by the way? Right? We speak about it usually as the inanimate. But you know what Domein literally means? The silent. Right? Vayidom Aharon. Aaron was silent. Right? So on the bottom, right, that's the things, just the, right? Plants are already some level of life, with some level of growth and impact, and animals likewise. the person is the ultimate, the medaber, the communicator. The medaber who's able to go beyond and be able to really bring things out. And that's the idea when we speak about impact. We speak about koil. We speak about koil. The idea of the society, the idea of a person is a person who's not just pensive for himself. Right? What does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? It says, if there are 10 people sitting and studying Torah, wow. 5 people sitting and studying Torah, wow. 3 people sitting, even 2 people, right? Oz nidru yir Hashem areyu. And how do you know that even a person who's sitting by himself and studying Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Elishar, yeshev badad v'yidayim kinotal olav. If he sits alone and he is quiet, he will nevertheless take things upon him. Right? The ikar of Torah is to speak it, to share it. It's something, even if you keep it to yourself. But the ikar of Torah is Baruch Omer v'Aisa, is to create reality through words, through the power of Dibur. Says the Maral, that's why we speak here of the Kailais of Matan Torah. It's always this, the thing that we're going to speak of. So he says, so now let's talk about it. So you have, let's talk about the Chazal. Mishenene misudas chosan ve'enei mesamchei oiver b'chamisha kolos. He says, look, there's supposed to be simcha for a chosan. Kala. Why is there supposed to be simcha? He says, what's the opposite of simcha? The opposite of simcha is le'olein rachman al-islan evel, is mourning. So what is it? Right? Evel is where the person is losing connection, lost, bereft, and when you have a chasm kala is creating connection, creating shlemus. It's the flip side. Where there's loss, there's evel. Where there's expansion and growth and creation of new connection, there's simcha. Isn't that, by the way, such a beautiful, simple thought? You ever think of that contrast between avelus, right, beis ha'ovel and beis ha'mishta? Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's just, it's like, it's so basic and elementary, just till Maral says this. I don't know, I know you're right. Ovel loses a connection. Chasam Kala gains a connection. Right? So it's like these are polar opposites. One is grief, and the other is the ultimate joy. The ultimate joy. And Maral goes on, we know that the completeness of man, you know, everybody knows, right? Before man gets married, he's incomplete. Once he's married, he's finished, right? That's the famous thing, right? But the completeness of man, the shlemus of man, is only going to come with that, and that's the shlemus, and so again it stands in contrast to the ovel, and that's why the idea of l'sameach, right, to bring joy, to bring that sense of completeness in the zivug, is going to be so significant. The koil is effect, is bringing something out into reality. So here we're trying to show some level of completeness which is there. As Maral says, and he will repeat here in this parak a couple of times, is that Adam is the purpose of the world, like Torah is the purpose of the world. Adam, reaching his shlemus, has that full pervasive, those chamisha kailos of completeness. So what are the specifics, the specific things? It's as if he blank. Okay, so we have the one of Torah. Maral's, we've touched on it already. But Maral's going to save it more completely for last, and not so much more than what we've talked about here. But Rabbi Avohu said it's as if he brings a carbon taida. What does that mean? What's special about a carbon taida? You have to?
Otherwise.
Oh, so it's going to be hard. It's been hard to finish all that, right? So you do have, yes, it's true. A taida, carbon taida, to some degree, you have to have other people eat it. 40 loaves of bread in a day and a night is going to be a little bit of a challenge, right? I don't know. Maybe a teenager would be possible, but but there's something else which is unique about a carbon taida, and this is what Maral brings out. This is very, very chashuv. Says the Maral, you know, generally speaking, carbonis are made of, or what meal carbonis, the minachis, right? The taida is basically a carbon shlamim, with a little bit of a shorter opportunity to eat. You only can eat it for one day and one night, not 2 days and one night. And it comes with that's the hallmark of the Taida, is the lachmei Taida, the loaves of bread. Four types of bread, 10 loaves each. They weren't brought on the Mizbeach. One out of 10 of each of the loaves, one of each of the four categories was given to the Kayan. It didn't go on the Mizbeach. And it's important that it didn't go on the Mizbeach. Why? Because what's unique about the Taida is chametz. Of the 40 loaves of bread, 30 of them, three of the categories are matzah, and one of the categories is chametz. That's the reason why on Erev Pesach and Chol Hamoed Pesach, we don't say Mizmor L'Soida during davening, because those were 8 days in the year, besides for Yontiv, that besides for other Shabbos and Yontiv, when you don't bring voluntary korbanos, when you couldn't bring it, because you couldn't bring a chametz stick of korban on Erev Pesach, because it wouldn't be eaten on time, you couldn't bring it on Chol Hamoed Pesach. Chametz. So what is it? Says the Maral, chametz and matzah are two opposites. Chametz and matzah are two opposites. And in this korban taida, what do? You bring together two opposites. What do you do at a wedding? You bring together two opposites. Ezer kenegdai, right? A male and a female are two opposites. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the miracle. Elokim Moshev Yechidim Beisa. Well, you say, okay, no, opposites attract. They complement each other. But, you know, sometimes there's also another aspect of they're very different from each other. And the resolution where they understand that, you know something, even though they're opposites, but indeed they add to each other, and together they form a whole, instead of conflicting with each other, that's marriage. And that's the Korban Taida. So you say, okay, now I understand one thing, but I don't understand another thing. I understand the drash, but I don't understand the pshat. Why? Okay, nice drasha. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu which associates bringing a korban taida with a marriage. A marriage is opposites. A korban taida is chametz and matzah. That's opposites. Mwah! Beautiful. But I don't understand one other thing, which is why you bring a korban taida that it says in the chumash. In the chumash it says a person had a very great difficulty, right? Well, the chumash doesn't speak about it so much, right? But it says a person brings a taida of thanksgiving for Hashem. We know what that means. A person's life is threatened by illness, by traveling through the desert, overseas, by being imprisoned. When they get out, they bring a korban taida. So why over there should you bring chametz and matzah? Says the Maral, beautiful. Because the person went through a traumatic experience. The person went through aleinu illness, imprisonment, fear for his life, difficult times, and in the end, he's okay. What's the korban? The korban is, Rabbeinu Shalom, thank you for the good days, or what we're supposed to say when we have Yeshua, when we have salvation, is that we see everything. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the whole process. One of our fundamental responsibilities is to see Hashem as the Yotzer Oir Uvayrei Choshech, as the one who creates the light and the darkness, who creates the difficulty and the positive, the Dayan HaEmes and the Hatoiva HaMeitiv. And in the ultimate point of revelation, what do we say? We say on everything Hatoiva HaMeitiv, we see it as all as one. What did the Gemara say? What does that mean, Hashem Echad? That day Hashem will be one? Because now what we do is we separate the chametz from the matzah. We separate the sour, fermented stuff from the clean and clear stuff. We separate the bad from the good. The ra from the tov. But on that day, there won't be such a thing as saying a dayan emes and a tov ha-meitiv. On everything you'll say a tov ha-meitiv. You'll see how it all comes together as one. And that's what the person does when they bring the Taida to the Beis HaMikdash. They're not thanking them for today's salvation. They're thanking them for everything that led to today's salvation. For the Taiv and the Ra from which the Taiv came. And so says the Maral, Gevaldik. So he says, that's the Pshat in the Medrash. Kol HaKarbonim Yiyu B'Telim La'asid Chutz MiKarbon Taida. All korbanos will be batel in the future, with the exception of korban taida. Why? Who remembers? What else? Quick, free association. What else do we say? They'll all be gone, Lasid Lava, in the end of days, except for this. Where? Purim. Great. Fantastic. Megillas Esther. Purim. What's the story of Purim? Ad Deloyada Bein Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Till you can't tell the difference between the bad stuff and the good stuff. Between the chametz and the matzah. That's the echad. That's why that's the Lasid Lava. That's the bringing together of oppositional things and saying they're not really oppositional. They're complementary. They're two parts of one picture, of one whole. That's the simcha of the Chasen Kala. That's the simcha of the Chasen Kala. Right, you know, nice, from kid, you know, for they're 22 years old, 19 years old, 25 years old, whatever it is years old, right? They spent their entire life since pre-K playgroup in separate settings. Completely separate. And they were doing different things. Boys did their thing, and girls did their thing. Boys played what boys played. Girls played what girls played. Boys talk what boys talk. Girls talk what girls talk. Boys learn what boys learn. Girls learn what girls learn. Two worlds. And then suddenly they get married. And we're celebrating. Now, you know that sometimes that creates a little bit of an adjustment period. You know, boys, you know, there's a way a boy talks to a boy. He's got to learn the different way to talk to a girl. Right? Right? First time the boy gives a crack that he gave to one of the guys, to his wife, when he gets home, he learns very quickly. Right? So just a different way. It's a different world. Right? But that's exactly it. You're taking mamash. It's a simcha. You're saying that, like, what, it's two separate worlds? No, it's all one world. All part of one world. It's the mizug. It's bringing it together. Ki'ilu hikriv taida. Beautiful, no? Isn't that beautiful? Gorgeous. Okay.
So why 30 and 10? Why not 20 and 20?
Good kasha. I don't know. Good kasha. Next. Ki'ilu bana chor v'achas mechorvas Yerushalayim. Okay, this will be quick. Right? He built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. What's the pshat? He built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Right, the ruins of Yerushalayim, right? So you say, okay, there's the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, all the houses, everything in Yerushalayim is part of the picture. Right? When we speak about the miracles which happened in the Beis HaMikdash, the 10 miracles which happened in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't limit to the discussion for the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Included in that, on that list of 10 is, nobody said, Tzarli Amokam Sholem Yerushalayim, nobody said there wasn't room for me, you know, to sleep in Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim is part of it. And the Chur Beis Yerushalayim is part of the Chur Beis HaMikdash. The ruins of Yerushalayim is part of the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the house of Hashem. Yerushalayim is the city of Hashem. Kir Shechub Lo Yachdav. What happens when you bring together a Chasan and Kala? B'simcha. Zachu. When they merit. Shechina Shruya Beinayim. The presence of Hashem is with them. That's what Chazal say, right? Ish v'isha. Ish, isha. They both share the Aleph and the Shin, the fire letters. But one has a yud and one has a hey. So we say, look, it could be traumatic, it could be fiery if they don't merit. But if they merit and they come together, these complementary opposites, this one brings the yud, this one brings the hey, and what do you have? The name of Hashem, you have the Shechina. When they learn how to put it together, the opposites that we spoke about before, you end up with the Shechina. The Shechina rests there. Sounds like a Migdash to me. Right? Everybody knows, this is why I say we can do this quickly. They'll make for me a mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Not in it, but amongst them. Right? Because everybody's house is supposed to be a little mikdash. A little mikdash. Everybody's house is supposed to be a little mikdash. The Ramban explains that the Mishkan itself was modeled after the house of Avram and Sarah. The Shechina of the Avais, the oil of the Avais, where the presence of Hashem was on their house. So we know, what was the tent of Sarah? The bread stayed warm from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Ever hear of that before? The Lechem upon him. The candle stayed lit. Right? Ever hear of that before? The Menorah of the Mikdash. The candle stayed lit. A cloud over the tent. Ever hear of that before? The Anan over the Mishkan. That's it. The house is the Mishkan. Like we discussed before, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they brought the Korban Pesach. There was no Beis HaMikdash. What was the Mizbeach? What was the Migdash? It was their house. The Gemara says that the two doorposts and the lintel on the top were like three mizbechais. Normally you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach of the Mikdash. They sprinkle the blood on their house. The house was the Mikdash. You bring joy to a chasen kala. You figure out how they're going to be able to, you help them put it together. You help bring the Shechina into their house. You built up a ruin of Yerushalayim. You restored the presence of Hashem into the Jewish people. Taira, the first pshat, the last pshat. He merits Taira that's given with five chaylois. So he says, because look, the completion of man is the purpose of the completion of the world. When was man created? Yom HaShishi, on that sixth day. Which sixth day? Why don't you just say Yom Shishi? Like it said, Yom Chamishi, Yom Revi, Yom Shlishi. Yom HaShishi. Because the completion of man came on the sixth day of creation, which completed the world. And the completion of that, the further level of completion of that, was on the day of Shishi B'Sivan, on the day that the Torah was given, that the Hay books were given on that Shishi, on the sixth day of Sivan. That brought it all together. Marriage is the celebration of the completeness of the person. The marriage of the Jewish people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Matan Torah at the Har Sinai was a completion of the person. It's a completion of man. It's one and the same. It's one and the same. Right? The words of Torah are Yishakeini Minashikais Pi. It's the metaphor of Shir HaShirin. Right? It's all part of this. It's all part of creating the completeness of man, and it's created on these two fronts. On the front of the Zivug, on the front of the Torah. On the front of the Torah. Again, we've spoken before, and there's so much to talk about in terms of that duality of those two things. But that's what's happening here. That's Kolam Sameach Chasam V'Kala. He builds the Shechina into their home. He brings the opposites together, like the Korban Taida, like the Chametz U'Matzah, like the Ravet Toiv, like everything being brought together of the Hashem Echad. And he completes, he's celebrating man's ability to achieve purpose, to achieve completeness. That's the Chamisha Kailas, that's the five effects, that's the Kail, that's the sound, that's where the real difference and the real impact is made.
In summary, bringing last week's lesson to this lesson, is that what we know we have the Torah, which is the internal living thing, and then we have the earth, which is like an imprint or reflection of the Torah. Correct? So therefore the earth wasn't complete. Sinai like completed the earth, but it needed a lightning rod, which was a Jewish people. So that energy, which is like earth and spiritual symbolically, hit the Jewish people, which energized this clay. But when they stepped back and asked the intermediary, part of that clay wasn't energized. So therefore, that's why Moshe was so desperate to get them not to do 100%. That. Therefore, it's our job now to make that
everything become part of it. Everything become a part of it.
And that is our job. That's why we say make an earthen altar after the we spoke last time. That's why it's earthly. You've got to get in the mud and make it perfect.
Beautiful. Okay, good.
What the differences of the perception? They saw the sounds and they heard the lightning. Did you go into that at all? I mean, it was like totally upside down.
Yeah, so, Mirat Hashem. We're not up to that part of Matan Torah, but he's going to speak about Rayim HaSakoyles and a little bit about what that means. Okay, we'll do Shreya.